changes in and of themselves are not that complicated. I think what you have is you have the perception that the changes will be complicated. But if you take a minute, and this is available on defense.gov, and look at the support plan for implementation, it actually outlines recommendations that, when you boil them down, are necessary changes, but they're mostly administrative. And what they do is they point out that the existing regulations already handle a lot of the challenges that, that people perceive may be coming.
So you guys have been looking at this a lot. So what are the first steps that DOD should be taking?
Well, we're not here to tell the DOD what to do point by point, but we do maintain that because the DOD is effective in implementing training in a quick manner, that the training that they want to do as far as, you know, just how to handle the day-to-day situations could be done in weeks. From the DOD perspective, we do recognize, though, that they want to adjust the regulations and make sure that the training that they give addresses a lot of the fears that some of the service members have, which is, you know, are they still going to have the religious freedoms and that sort of thing.
And how do you deal with those kinds of issues? And there can be, particularly the religious ones. How do I work next to somebody who might be openly gay?
Well, that training is really the key to it. It's just a point-by-point, fact-by-fact addressing of the issue. And if they want to talk about it in those training sessions, they're more than welcome to do it. I think that once people see directly from their chain of command, directly from the leadership, what these recommendations are and how they're going to be implemented in those training sessions, that in effect a lot of those fears will be allayed. I think that there has been maybe not some misinformation, but some confusion from conflicting sources within the media.
It seems like there has been DOD has experience doing this, going back to bringing blacks into, African Americans into the military, even bringing women into the military in certain capacities.
And those challenges were actually, depending on how you want to look at this, were probably a little more complex. You know, we're just now seeing women coming onto submarines, and in the cases of integration, you're talking about, at that point, moving people into different living facilities and allowing them to serve in other jobs that they were not allowed before. So it really is actually a lot easier than it has been in the past, if for no other reason than gay service members and lesbian service members have already been there. They exist. They're there. What's really different is that it's just a matter of whether or not they want to come out. And that's really the key point here. That's the thing that's going to cause a problem, if anything.
And the Palm Center actually recommends, DOD is talking about a 60-day rollout to this. And in fact, you just said this could be done in a matter of weeks. Why the sort of difference in time period?
Well, the 60 days was a compromise that was made for the supporters who had a more conservative stance on it. You might look at that as a political motivation, but the DOD is they know what they're doing, but at the same time, you do have these reservations about what might need to be done, and by allowing that 60-day window, which was put into the language before the study was completed, it gave them something to fall back on in case the study provided recommendations that would have caused more of a delay in the process. But given the simple changes that the study has recommended, we don't feel like there's any reason why they couldn't take this on board quickly and effectively. I mean, we're confident the military leadership is equipped with the tools to do it and can do it smartly.
And very effective at change. I mean, they have to face this on the battlefield, for goodness sakes, altering their plans very quickly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. What will be the biggest challenge here?
I think the biggest challenge, you know, this is looking at it, I guess, from the combat perspective, this is the probably the sticking point that comes up the most, is how are the combat units going to take it and how are they going to deal with it? And I think the challenge there is to get the leadership on board, because we've heard from those in charge, like General Amos, that their issue is that they're hearing from the combat troops that they're not ready. But I think from where we come from, we maintain that this is a leadership from the leadership down issue, not from the ground troops up. The Marine Corps is very effective at setting the tone from the leadership down. And if the, as General Amos has now said, now that this policy has been passed, they will carry that out effectively. But I think that they're going to have to overcome that groupthink that they set when they spoke with the media over the course of this debate, and they kind of backed themselves into a corner. So now they're going to have to work over that. They've set this expectation that it's going to be difficult, and now they've got to kind of reverse course and prove that it won't be.
I've seen a lot of discussion about folks who may be almost in a limbo situation. They had questions before, and now the policy's been changed. So what happens to those people, particularly in the next 60 days before it's fully transitioned over? How does DOD deal with the limbo people, I guess?
Well, keep in mind that before the study and the results of the study were released, Secretary Gates did actually revise the execution of the policy, and that in order to discharge a service member, it has to go directly through the service chief. And upon making that change, the last we had heard, there had been no discharges. So while it's advisable for all service members who are in that position under the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy to kind of hold their tongue, so to speak, you know, it's not something that is a grave threat to them where their career is concerned. It's something that they want to be wary of and not cause issues if they don't need to. But, yeah, that limbo status is just waiting for the president to certify the plan and then waiting for that 60-day period afterwards. And upon that, they'll be safe to tell their unit members if they so desire.
Are there indications that we'll have as this process unfolds, as this retraining process begins, that will give us an indication as to how well the transition is actually happening?
I guess the biggest indicator is going to be whether you're hearing a lot of incidents from within the units, and whether, you know, if you see that sort of thing, probably one of the first places you'll see it in the news is Military Times. But that's just not something that we expect. I mean, it's again looking at this issue from the point of view, we do have one of the most effective militaries in the world. And a lot of the service members aren't looking to come out and make a big deal about it. Some service members are not going to come out at all. The ones who are comfortable, maybe some of their unit members already know. So what you're looking at is basically whether people are making the personal choice to reveal that to their unit members. And if they don't feel comfortable doing it, you're not going to see anything come from that.